Now these days we are studying from the book of Revelation. Last week we completed the various aspects related with the seven trumpet judgment. We have completed up to the sixth trumpet judgment. We have seen that it is describing about various things during the end time, and the various types of sin that will increase during the end time. And in chapter 10 we saw how a mighty angel is coming down from heaven to comfort the God's people, and says that most of the things of the judgments are getting over and few more is remaining. So that really the words of comfort to the saints. He was holding a little scroll, and that little scroll was so sweet to the mouth, but it was so bitter in the stomach. Now, that is remaining prophecies in the book is referring, is a bitter judgment that is going to come. Then last week we considered about the third temple. In 11 verse 1 and 2 speaks about the third temple. We know that in the Bible is very clearly mentioned, before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is going to be a temple in Jerusalem. It is a must. And before his coming on the earth, on the Mount of Olives, that is the meaning. And in that case, we see that today the nation of Israel is preparing themselves for that temple. We have seen various evidences of that. That shows that we are very close to the end of the world events, or before the Lord's coming. And verse 3 onwards, chapter 11, we read about the something which is specially happening during this period. God is sending two witnesses from heaven. We see the two witnesses, they are coming. And they have an unusual power, and with that power they are testifying God. And the duration of their testimony is mentioned there in verse 3. That is 1260 days. They are prophesying and witnessing the Lord in Jerusalem especially. And they are referred here in verse 4 that two olive trees and two lampstands, they are standing before the God of the earth. So they are ministering in the earth, these two witnesses. That is what we see there. They are olive trees and like the lampstand. Now, there are a lot of debates on the position. Who are these two witnesses? That is the number one. And what their role is. Now, in this passage, we are not sure what their role is, or what actually these witnesses is referring to, or whom it is referring to. There are various opinions about these witnesses. Some people say that these witnesses are Moses and Elijah. Some says no, it is not Elijah, it is not Moses, it may be Elijah and Enoch. Lot of reasons and debates are there regarding that. But if you look into these passages, the wonders or the powers they are exercising, or the miracles they are doing, is very instructive. They can bring fire from heaven. They can turn water into blood. And if you look into the Old Testament, these miracles were performed by Elijah and Moses. So, that means these people can perform the miracles as Elijah and Moses did in the Old Testament. That is why many people think that they are Moses and Elijah. Now, here it is called, here another thing is that they are two olive trees and two lampstands. This is a very pointing out or helping us to understand their function, their role in during this time. Now the first question we are going to answer, whether really they are Elijah and Moses, that's the question. I have a strong doubt about it. The reason is that Bible is not speaking about reincarnation. That's one thing. So we have no reference that those who are dead will come again. There's no references in the Bible. And otherwise you have to say that they just came, appeared all of a sudden, God sent them from heaven. Then again question, that is naturally they will be in a, Moses and Elijah appeared in the Mount of Transfiguration in a transformed body, not in a human body they are appeared. So they are transformed body they appeared, in that case again coming in a transformed body, then how they will die? Here is a death is mentioned. That means they are not in a transformed body, they are in a natural body. Now, if you take it that they are Moses and Elijah, a lot of confusion is there instead of solving the problem. I think it is better and safe for us that they are two witnesses of God. That is the best win. We need not to identify whether it is Moses or Elijah. Even if you identify, what benefit we are going to get? Nothing as such. But one thing we can say definitely, these two witnesses have the same spirit of Moses and Elijah. You know, when the John the Baptist came, they asked, are you Elijah? He said very clearly, I am not Elijah. But we know that, Bible says that, he came with the same spirit of Elijah. How Elijah ministered before God, in the same way John the Baptist ministered before God. We can say the same way about these two people. These two witnesses are really having the same spirit like Moses and the same spirit like Elijah, and they will be ministering before God in the same manner. So that will be more safer than to identify them as Moses and Elijah. Now, what they are going to do here? Of course, they are witnesses. It's very clear. They are speaking about God. Now, we have a reference here of two olive trees and two lampstands. Have you got an idea in the Old Testament? It is referred about someone, those who are two olive trees and two lampstands. About whom it is mentioned? In the Old Testament, two people are identified as two olive trees and two lampstands. Who are they? Joshua and Zerubbabel. In the book of Zechariah we read. In the book of Zechariah chapter 4 verse 2 to 3. If you read, there it is mentioned that Zerubbabel and Joshua, they are the two olive trees and two lampstands standing before God. And what they were doing? That's the question. If you look into the history of Zerubbabel and Joshua, they were the two men God appointed to rebuild the second temple. Now, if they were appointed to rebuild the second temple, what these two people may be doing then? Or they were encouraging, Zerubbabel and Joshua were encouraging the people of Israel to rebuild the second temple. And that is how the second temple was constructed. I do believe if you take that as a clue, we can say that these two witnesses, the primary duty is to encourage the Jewish nation to rebuild the third temple. So, with the miracle, there will be a lot of opposition, there will be a lot of antagonizing against these people, because these people will encourage the Jewish people to rebuild the Jerusalem temple. Because of these people, there will be a lot of problems in the world at that time. So, there will be, media will be saying that these two men are really causing trouble to us. And they are the troublemakers in Jerusalem. And because of that, the whole world is against them. Whether they are against them or not, these people will finish their duty what God has assigned to them. They will minister here 3.5 years. That means 1260 days they will minister. I think they will accomplish the purpose for which God has sent them. That is the construction or the finishing of the third temple. And Then there will be a great fight between these two men and the Antichrist. Here is mentioned about Antichrist, verse 7. When they shall have finished their testimony, verse 7, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. So we see that Antichrist will kill these two witnesses. But as long as they have not finished the work, they cannot touch. When they have finished their duty, their testimony, he will fight with them and they will be killed. And even people were so against them, they desired that no one should bury their body. And their body will remain in Jerusalem. But here see that everyone will see that body all over the world. People will view that body. We know nowadays very easily. That means through the televisions, all world will view that body is lying there in the streets of Jerusalem. And it will remain there for 3.5 days. They will remain there. Three days and half day, the body will remain. And when they see that the world will watch this event, they are very happy. They will be celebrating like Christmas, you know, they will send gifts to each other. Oh, these two people have died, it's better that they caused all the problem in the world. So they were rejoicing, we read in verse 10. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. So they are very happy that these two people are dead. But all of a sudden, in their surprise, that the spirit of life will come upon these two men and they will be resurrected, and they will see that the whole world will see them and they will be ascending into heaven. We see that they will be ascending into heaven. Resurrection of the two witnesses, we see that. And during this time, a voice will come from heaven and saying unto them, come up here. And they ascend up into heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. All the enemies will see this wonderful thing. At the same time, there will be a great earthquake is going to happen. And we see that the 10th part of the city shall fall. The Jerusalem city will be affected by the earthquake. And the number of the people, those who die in the earthquake, is also mentioned in verse 13. How many people are mentioned? 7,000 people will die in that earthquake. And the remnant will be terrified and give glory to the God of heaven. We see that this is what is going to happen during the time before the Lord's coming. Now, we were considering about the seventh trumpet. And during this period, something is happening that is described in between. Now, after the description of that, we come to the seventh trumpet in verse 15. Look at that. We have completed the sixth trumpet in chapter 9, verse 21. Actually, then you have to read here. This is the seventh trumpet is mentioned, verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world is become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the four and twenty elders who sat before God on their thrones fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, who art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath has come, the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that they should be given reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, should destroy them who destroy the earth. Now, the seventh trumpet is mentioned. What is happening at the time of the seventh trumpet is very clearly mentioned. that the kingdom of this world became the kingdom of our Lord. That shows Jesus is coming to rule on this earth. Or it is referring to the Lord's coming. So at the end of the seventh trumpet, Jesus Christ is coming to rule and take over the reign of this earth. That is what is described. Now, during this time, so many things are happening, briefly narrated here. Number one, there is a worship that is going on in heaven when Jesus is taken over the reign or the power of this earth. He is taken charge of the earth. Verse 16, we see that 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell upon their faces and worshipped God. So there's a worship going on in heaven when the seventh trumpet is blowing. Now, what is going happening on the earth? We read in verse 18, and the nations were angry, and their wrath is come. Now, if you look into that phrase, the nations were angry and their wrath is come. This is a phrase very similarly we see in Psalm 2. The nations were angry and their wrath has come. And if you read Psalm 2, we see the description of the final world war called Armageddon. That means that Jesus is coming to rule on the earth. There's a worship going on in heaven. At the same time, on the earth, the final world war or Armageddon is going on. And they are decided to fight against the nation of Israel and to destroy the nation of Israel. This is the background. All the nations gathered together to destroy the nation. And at that time, the nation of Israel will cry unto the Lord, Lord, you come and help us. And Jesus Christ will come to help the nation of Israel on the Mount of Olives. One thing we should understand, we are along with him coming down. He is the bridegroom and we are the bride. After the marriage of the Lamb, we are coming down. So we are coming down along with the Lord Jesus Christ, if precisely we can say, on the last day of Armageddon. That is the last day of the great tribulation. And the world will see him, watch him carefully. And they will surprise. And we read that a two-edged sword will proceed from his mouth, and with that he will kill all the enemies of Israel. And when his feet is touching on the Mount of Olives, what happens, we very clearly says in the book of Zechariah chapter 14, the Mount of Olives will divide into two. And that is going to happen here. Now here certain things are mentioned. We will consider about the details later on. A few things which is mentioned here I want to draw your attention. Here we say in verse 18, the nations were angry and the wrath is come. As I told you, that speaks about the Armageddon. Then something very unique thing is going to happen here. They mention that the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou should give reward unto thy servant. That means, when the Lord is coming again on the Mount of Olives, what is going to happen? There is a resurrection. The time of the dead, that they should be judged and they should be given reward. Who are these people who are going to be raised again? Now you look at the phrase which is used. It is called as thy servants. It is called as the prophets. They are also called as the saints. And they are also called as they that fear thy name. Small and great. And if you look at the whole phrases which is used there, all these phrases are related with the Old Testament saints. That means, this particular passage suggests that when the Lord is going to come on the Mount of Olives, the Old Testament saints will be resurrected. Now, when the Lord is coming for the church, He is coming in the air. Normally, we call it as mid-air. Mid-air is not there in the Bible, we have to understand. It is for our convenience, for our understanding, we used to say mid-air. Let us say, that Jesus is descending from heaven, and we who are saved and we are going to be raised, and those who are translated, we together will go to meet Him in the air. So the resurrection of the saints will take place at that time. And we have to make it sure that only the New Testament believers will be resurrected at that time, at the time of rapture. The Old Testament saints will not be resurrected. This is the time, very clear indication, that the Old Testament saints will be resurrected and God will give rewards for them at that time. Now, how we understand? Because there are a lot of confusion about this. Among the theologians, some believe that all those who are dead in Christ shall be raised when the Lord comes in the air. No. Only the New Testament believers will be raised at that time. It is only after 7 years the Old Testament saints will be resurrected. And just we will read one verse to make it more clearer to you. Come to chapter 19 of the book of Job. Book of Job is an Old Testament saint. He belongs to the old dispensation. And he had a great hope of resurrection. And look at that, what he says in chapter 19, verse 25. He says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." Now, the Old Testament saying Job is very clear. And he says that I will get the resurrected body. This present body, which is a fleshly body, will be destroyed and eaten by the worms. But when the Jesus is coming to redeem me at that time, I will get a translated, transformed, resurrected body. And he says, when it is going to happen, when my Redeemer will stand on the earth. At that time it will happen. And I will see him when he stands on the earth. That means the Old Testament saints will be resurrected only when the Lord is standing on the earth. But what about the New Testament believers, when we will see him? We will see him in the air. We will see him in the air, not on the earth. Before that we will see him. So the Old Testament saints will see him on the earth. It is very clearly mentioned. So we can say that this chapter 11 verse 18 is referring to the Old Testament saints and their resurrection and the reward giving ceremony. God will give rewards to them accordingly what they have done. And not only that, he is going to destroy them who destroy the earth. This is what we see here. The Lord is coming at the end of seventh trumpet. I know you may be getting confused, I'm sure. Because I told you that there are three series of judgment, isn't it? Now only two was over. One is seal judgment, other one is trumpet judgment. And I am telling that at the end of the trumpet judgment, Jesus is coming. So where is the issue of the third series of judgment? Okay, that we will consider later on. At least you keep it this in your mind. We will explain how it is going to happen. Okay? So, the third series of judgment, where we have to fit it, that we will see later on. Now, comes to chapter 12 and 13. In the chapter 12 and 13, three characters are described. Three personalities are described. In chapter 12, we see the description of Satan and his activities are given. Satan is given. In chapter 13, we see a close friend of Satan, a close associate of Satan, that is Antichrist, is described. And in chapter 13, verse 11 onwards, we have the third personality, that is false prophet. So chapter 12 and 13 describes three persons. One is a red dragon. And he is mentioned very clearly. He is Satan. He is a devil. He is an old serpent. So many names are given to him in chapter 12. He is accuser of the brethren. So Satan is described in chapter 12. And chapter 13 was 1 to 10. A beast coming from the bottomless pit is described. The beast coming from the bottomless pit is Antichrist. And the third one, a beast coming from the land is described. That is the false prophet. Or in other words, in these two chapters, we have the description of satanic trinity. Like God, Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, same way Satan also imitates that thing. The Satan, the red dragon, is imitating himself like the God, the Father. And the Antichrist, he is imitating himself like Christ. And the false prophet, he is imitating himself like the Holy Spirit. So we, in this passage, we are given a details about the satanic trinity. Now, even though the word Antichrist is not referred here, the way in which it is described, we can call that personality as Antichrist. Now, comes to chapter 12. What the Satan is doing? From the beginning of the history onwards, Satan is always against the God's people. And here in chapter 12, how he is against the God's people is described very well. Now, we read here, another character is mentioned in chapter 12. Let us read chapter 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she being with a child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. Verse 5, and she brought forth a male child, who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the women fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Now, there are a lot of debates about the identity of these women mentioned in this passage. Who is this lady? Of course, it is not normal lady. Very clear. How you can see it? Because it's described that her cloth is described. What is her cloth? She's wearing what she is wearing. Verse 1, you read that what she is wearing. She is wearing sun. Is there anyone who can wear sun? No, it's not normal. Then what is her under the feet of her? Moon. So you cannot see any natural person who is wearing sun and having moon under their feet. So it is symbolic, we can say that. It is not natural. Then what is her crown? She has a crown of 12 stars. That is also symbolic. Nobody can have 12 stars as a crown. Now, to identify this is very difficult. Many interpretations are there. Now, but she is a pregnant lady. That is one character by which we can identify. And the identity, the clue for identity, the word of God is giving, verse 5. And she gave birth to a male child. Who is this male child? What is his character is mentioned. Who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron? That is the thing. I think that verse gives an identity or to helps us to identify who is this lady. That means, this person, this child, who is this child? It is very easy to identify. Who is this child? Who is going to rule the whole world with the iron rod? In Psalm 2, we read that Jesus is going to rule this world with the iron rod. That is Jesus Christ is very clearly mentioned. and the child is a male child. So we see that she gave birth to the male child, or she gave birth to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now there are various interpretations are there. Some people say that this lady is representing church. One interpretation. Some others say that this lady is representing the Mary, the mother of Lord Jesus Christ. The third interpretation is that this lady is representing the nation of Israel. Now, you tell me which is more possible. Of course, the first one we can discard, because Jesus Christ, the church never gave birth to Lord Jesus Christ. So that concept is very wrong and misinterpretation of the scripture. Now, the other possibility is that whether she is representing Mary, some of the descriptions very fitting to her, because Mary is the one naturally gave birth to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's true. But some of the descriptions are not fitting properly. The 12 crowns where it is fitting, the cloth with the sun, it is not fitting, nor the moon is not fitting to Mary. Nothing is there. Of course, the Catholics, they believe that it is Mary, because they say that she is the tune of heaven. And again, the question, we have no record in the scripture where God hidden Mary for 42 months. So all the description is not fitting to Mary. And these events are going to refer in the future. It is going to happen in the future. Mary is not going to come in the future. Her life is over on the earth. So this is not referring to Mary, and it is not fitting to Mary. So the last option which is remaining for us, that this lady is representing the nation of Israel. Now if you look into the nation of Israel, all these things are exactly fitting. How you can say about the sun, moon and the stars? It is very fitting you to the Joseph's dream. You know, the Joseph had a dream in the Old Testament. And in his dream, what he saw? He saw moon, sun and 12 stars falling before him. And he told his father, this is what I had a dream. And father scolded him. Do you mean that we are going to bow down before you? That means it is very clear, shows that this sun, moon and the star is speaking about the family of Jacob, or it is speaking about the nation of Israel. So in the Old Testament we have a clue about sun, moon and the stars. 12 stars, he speaks about the 12 sons of Jacob. So it is speaking about the nation of Israel. And we understand from the history that Lord Jesus Christ was born in the nation of Israel. He came from Jewish nation. So this speaks about the birth of Lord Jesus Christ as a Jew. And he rose again and he ascended into heaven on the third day. And if you look into that, the Satan was always against the nation of Israel. Throughout the history, if you look into that, Satan was always against the nation of Israel. There is no nation has ever suffered like the Jewish people. And all this suffering was instigated and motivated by Satan. And if you look at the history, be surprised why these people are suffering. Even today, they are suffering. Lot of opposition is there against the nation. If you look into their brilliancy, they are one of the most brilliant people in the world, isn't it? The most intelligent race in the world is Jewish race. How you can understand? Is there any proof? Yes, the Bible says, isn't it? Not Bible says, it's not because of that. You look at the Nobel Prize winners, I always say that. The Nobel Prize winners are the most intelligent people, isn't it? And the maximum Nobel Prize winners, more than 180, I think, maybe around 200, we can say now. Nobel Prize winners are Jewish people. That is very clearly suggesting that they are the most intellectual group of people. Whatever discoveries they have made, we are benefited by that. Not only we, the whole world is benefited by that. Most of the discoveries, they made it. So, it is very clear that they are the most intellectual group in the world. And they are the maximum suffering community. In the whole world population, they stand only 0.25. But the contribution is amazing. And this is all they have suffered because the Satan instigated against them. If you read the Hitler story, you can understand. It is shocking, in fact. If you read some of the books which is written about the atrocities and the Holocaust events, really you won't get sleep in the night. That is what happened to me. So it's very clear the Jewish people suffered the maximum. And here we see in the future again, they are going to suffer. And that suffering is caused by Satan. Here we see that he is going to trouble these people again. Verse 3 onwards we see that the Satan is described, chapter 12, verse 3 and 4. And he is drawn out, he was thrown out of heaven. In verse 7 we read that there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon fought and his angels. And prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. So there is a big war is going to take place in heaven. And as a result of the war, this is going to happen in the future. In the middle of the tribulation is going to happen. And Satan will be thrown down from heaven. Now there is a permission to enter into some areas for Satan. We have various references in the Bible. Especially in the book of Job, we see that Satan is going there and accusing Job. So at present, there is a place for him. In some area, he can enter. But in the middle of the tribulation, he will be thrown out. And the angel, the Michael will come and throw him out. And he will come with all the anger down on the earth. Because he knows that there is only little time left for him. What he is doing, we read in verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down who accused them before our God day and night. So here we see the Satan is addressed as accuser of the brethren. He is the one who is doing 24/7 duty. There's no break for him. No rest for him. What is his duty? He is accusing the brethren. How he is accusing the brethren? He uses the brethren to do that. You can see that in the midst of the believers is the maximum accusations are there. Have you noticed that? If you are accusing your fellow believer, you are an agent of Satan. You are used by Satan. So we have to be very careful when we accuse other believers. Because the Satan is using you as an instrument to accuse the brethren. That is what he is doing. So he is the accuser of the brethren. And he will be cast down into the earth because he knows that there is only short time for him. Verse 12 reads like this. Therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Now he is moving around. Where Peter says that he is moving around like a roaring lion. And he want to devour. So that is what he is going to do. So we have to be very careful about his activity. But when he comes down, he will persecute these women. Or the nation of Israel. But God in a miraculous way will help this lady. And she will be preserved, given two wings of an eagle. You look at that. She will be given these two wings of an eagle. On the wings of the eagle, God brought them into the promised land. We from Egypt to the promised land. He says that as the wings on the eagle he brought it. Same way, two wings of the eagle will be given to this lady. And she will be preserved somewhere. We have no idea where it is. For 42 months God will preserve them. Some believe that they will be preserved in Jordan, the country called Jordan. Once upon a time, it was ruled by Edomites. And in that Jordan, there is a huge mountainous area is there. Now that mountainous area is Petra. It is actually the city of Petra. It is considered as once upon a time the capital of Edom. Huge mountains are there. Now it is one of the seven wonders of the world. Tourists used to visit there. But once you enter into that mountainous area, sometimes you may miss. It's very difficult to come out. And there are so many caves and hiding places are there. Some believe that probably God will preserve the Jewish people in that area. Possibility is there. And because of that, the tourists, those who go there, they keep some Bible here and there. Because they believe that when the Jewish people will come during the time of tribulation, great tribulation, they can read the Bible and they can understand. Whatever may be, we are not sure where exactly. But one thing is sure, 42 months, God is going to save these people. A remnant will be saved. Many will be killed, but a remnant will be saved. Nobody can eradicate the nation of Israel. That's very sure. Many in the history tried to destroy the whole nation. It is impossible. God will preserve his people and save them for 42 months in this wilderness. The serpent will cast the flood, you know, is out of the water. Water will come like a flood to destroy this nation. But the earth will help and they will be preserved. So we see the preservation of the nation of Israel in chapter 12. The Satan is against them, but God is favoring them and preserving them. Now, after the description of this Satan, now in chapter 13, verse 1 to 10, we have the description of the false prophet, the Antichrist and the false prophet. The first, it starts with the Antichrist. Look at that, verse 1, chapter 13, verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and was a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. Here we see a beast is coming, a beast from the sea. Look at here, we see the Satan Trinity very clear. We have seen about the red dragon with the seven head in chapter 12. Now, we see a beast is coming from the sea. And the beast is having seven heads are there. And 10 horns are there. And there is another beast coming from the land or from the earth. That is the false prophet. So we have the Satan Trinity. Let us look into the first beast. This is the first beast. Of course, it is a black and white picture. Otherwise, it is the same idea. Now, look at this beast. How many heads are there? Seven heads. Now, how many horns are there? You look at that. 10 horns are there. How it looks like? The face is like the lion. The body is like the leopard. Here it is, verse 2 is very clearly mentioned. And the feet is like the bear. Do you remember these references about lion, leopard and bear anywhere in the Bible? In one chapter we see all these things. That is Daniel chapter 7. Daniel, in his vision, he saw a lion is coming from the sea. First one. Secondly, he saw a bear is coming from the sea. Third, he saw a leopard is coming from the sea. So Daniel saw lion, bear and leopard. And it is mentioned that they are the three kingdoms, Babylonian kingdom, the Persian kingdom, and the Grecian kingdom. And the fourth beast, an undescribable beast. That's the fourth beast. Is a terrifying beast. And that is the Roman Empire. So the coming kingdom was given, the vision of the coming kingdom was given to Daniel. Now look at here, the description starts in the reverse order. What he saw first? He saw first, the animal is like a leopard. Then he saw that the animal is like a bear, the feet is like a bear. Then he says the face is like the lion. Why the difference in Daniel and John? Daniel says lion, bear and leopard, where John says leopard, bear and lion. Why the difference? Describing the same events. Or the fourth kingdom that is going to come. See, the Daniel is looking into the history. When Daniel was there, he is living during the time of the lion kingdom or the Babylonian kingdom. Then the Persian kingdom came. Then the Grecian kingdom came. Then finally the Roman kingdom came. Now, John is living in the Roman kingdom and he is looking back. So when he was looking back, the first one what he will see? He will see the leopard. Then he will see the bear. And finally he will see the lion. So we see that there is a similarity is there between Daniel 7 and Revelation chapter 13. So this is describing the seven heads. You know the city of Rome was built upon seven mountains. The seven heads may be referring to the seven mountains upon which the city of Rome was described. So this is the fourth kingdom or the Roman kingdom is describing. That means the Antichrist is coming from the sea. He is from the disturbed chaos, confused world he is coming. Sea is always moving, confusion is there. The sea is referring to the Gentile nations. So he is coming from the Gentile nations. So he is not a Jew, he is a Gentile or coming from the confused world. Now look at the Daniel's vision. Daniel had seen the same thing. He saw the beast which is terrifying beast. Terrible beast, that is what is called. What is the meaning of dinosaurs? Dinosaurs is a name given by the scientist to a group of animals. The name dinosaurs means terrible beast. Actually, probably I feel that Daniel might have seen a dinosaur. I don't know. He said that is a terrible beast. What is that? See, it is very fearful. And it has got 10 horns. And look at the 10 horns. And between the 10 horns, a little horn is coming. And with the pompous words, he speaks very well. And frightening everybody. And that little horn which is coming, who is this little horn? That little horn is Andy. So if you compare these two verses together, it is 100% sure that the Antichrist is going to come from Rome. There are so many other references are there, very clearly says about it. Again, there is a lot of confusion and a discussion is there from where the Antichrist is going to come. Let me tell you, he is not going to come from China, not from India. But definitely he is going to come from Europe. Bible says that once upon a time, the Europe was ruled by the Rome. And this Europe will form together as a 10-nation federation. And out of this 10-nation federation, the Antichrist will come from Europe, he has to come. What is happening in these days and for the last few years in the Europe is very clear indication that the Europe is preparing for the arrival of the Antichrist. Now today, what is happening in Russia is also a part of that entire event. The part which belong to Europe, they want to be joined together. And Russia has taken the Russian part. The remaining part, they don't mind to give to anyone. That means the remaining part was the old part of the Roman Empire. So it is possible that all the old Roman Empire will come together. And from the old Roman Empire, we see the Antichrist will arise. And that is what this is describing. So Antichrist is going to come in the world scene very, very soon. Last week we saw the Jewish people are preparing the temple. Everything is ready for that. It's an independent event. At the same time, the political world will look into that. The political scenario is very clear that the world is preparing for the coming of Antichrist. Who is going to be the Antichrist, we are not sure. We need not to worry also. Because he will appear only when we leave this place. As long as we are here, the Antichrist will not come. Once I was taking the Bible study, so some brother came and told me, see, I saw the photograph of Antichrist. And the next week he brought me a photograph and showed. I said, don't worry, brother. As long as we are here, the Antichrist will not appear. But the things which is related with the Antichrist, we can visibly see that. We don't know who is the. Probably he might have born, I don't know. But he will not reveal himself as long as the church is here on this earth. And we read in the Bible how he is going to come. Look at that. This beast, the Antichrist. Now who is seated upon that? A lady, a woman is seated upon. That lady is representing the religion of the world. That means who is ruled, who is powerful, whether the beast is powerful or lady is powerful. She is powerful, she is controlling, isn't it? That means he will come in the world scene with the help of a religion. And with the association with the religion, he will come in the power, in the political power. How Modi is going to come? We know that very well. They are all playing the religious card, isn't it? With the religious card, they are coming. Same way, Antichrist will also going to come in the world scene with the help of religion. And, you know, Christ is having the bride. Christ is the bridegroom. Christ the bride is which is then? Church is the bride. So Christ and the church, they are the bride and the bridegroom. So Antichrist also should have a bride, isn't it? And who is this lady? This lady is the bride of Antichrist. And this lady is representing the false religion, including the nominal Christianity. Lord says very clearly in the Revelation chapter 3, there is a lady is mentioned. Her name was Jezebel. And mentioned that God said that I have given you an enough opportunity to repent. If you are not repenting, I will allow you to pass through the great tribulation. The nominal church, the religious system of the world will pass through this great tribulation. So this lady is representing the wife of Antichrist. Now they are very happy. Both are moving together. She is controlling and he is under her control. But this is the honeymoon days, you know. After the honeymoon, after some time, he will hate her. That's what Bible says. The beast will hate her and will destroy her and completely burn her. That means a stage will come. He will say that now there is no more religion is needed. All the religion should be banned. And if anybody wants to worship God, I am God. You worship me. He will destroy these women and declare himself as God and ask the whole world to worship him. And he will erect his image in the temple of God. That is what the Bible says. And that day is going to come. So we see that the world is preparing for that. This is when he will abandon all the religion. Second thing what he is going to do is that he will introduce an economic measures in the world. To control the whole economy of the world. And he will give number to every individual. A number will be given. And the number is very clearly mentioned. What is the number? 666. And you know, in the world at present, in our childhood, we had never understood it. Whenever I was reading that, I was confused about it. I said, who will allow the people to write their name on the number on the forehead? Now we can very easily understand. The modern technology, microchips, and can be used to implant this one. You know, the modern, one of the scientists, you know, he has already discovered. You might have seen this picture earlier also. This picture very clearly says, microchip, his name is Kevin Warwick, he's a scientist. He has already prepared a microchip. He said, once you have this microchip inserted in your forehead, very simple, and you can, very handy, so many things, you need not to carry ATM card and all the, even you need not to carry your key. As soon as you come to your door, immediately door will open for you, because they will read these things. And it is easy for the security purpose in the airport. They can identify where you are coming from. And so the world is moving towards this technology. And we know in India, the largest democratic, largest populated country, not only in India, everywhere, to control the terrorism, this is the only way to do that. And all world is moving towards this one. You know, I always say my great grandfather never had a number, my grandfather never had a number. But if I want to live here, I need to have a number. And that is now named as Aadhaar card. Without that number, everything is rolling around, moving around number. And we know that these chips can be implanted. There are two places, they say, scientists say. The best place to implant this chip is either on the forehead, because the computer can read it very easily, or on the right hand, where you can show this one. This is the best place for that. You can show it to the computer very easily. So, the best place, Bible says, the chip or the number will be given on the forehead or on the right hand. Billions of dollars they spend to find out the best place to implant the chip. I said, they should have asked us, isn't it? Eh? We can say without any money, we can sell that. The right hand or on the forehead. Bible is very clear. So many thousands of years ago, it is predicted. Now you see happening with our own eyes, we can see the thing. Sometimes you may wonder, okay, Aadhaar card, so many problems are. I am sure this is moving to us. It may take little more time probably. But this is going to happen. The whole world is going to accept this one. That without this number, no one can buy or sell. See how beautiful is the Bible. Here is a family. They said, we want to be the first family to have this chip. People are waiting to have the chips. We are afraid. We are not much interested. But people are there to waiting. Now the question arising whether we can have Aadhaar card or not. I always say, as long as that is not in our body, you can take it. Huh? Isn't it? Not on the right hand or the forehead, we cannot accept it. Yes, that is going to. But one, thank God that before that, we will be raptured. Before that comes on our forehead or right hand, we will be raptured. God will not allow us to have that. Because we are the God's children. The world will do that. Of course, he is the man who was behind it. Neelakshini, he has resigned recently for fighting for the election. Now, the things are moving towards this particular thing. Definitely, this is the first inaugurated in Maharashtra. Nandurbar is found to be the poorest village in the whole India. They locate the poorest lady. This is the lady who is there. She is from Nandurbar in Maharashtra. And she was the first one to receive this Aadhaar card. Manmohan Singh and Sonia Gandhi inaugurated. I don't know why Sonia Gandhi joined, being a Roman, I don't know. Sonia Gandhi inaugurated that. And she was very happy. All the benefit of the government will get it. That is what they say. Without this number, you will not get all the subsidies. That is what the government is now making. So, This is all indicating very clearly. So many years ago, the Bible has predicted, and it is happening. So, in chapter Revelation, chapter 13, verse 1 to 10, if you read, we see about that. But during this time, there is another person is coming. I will take it a little more time and finish. And he is an assistant to this Antichrist or the beast from the sea. Now look at this beast. This beast is not from the sea, but from the earth or from the land. Now, the Bible, when speaks about the land in the prophecy, it is primarily referring to the land of Israel. That means this beast is coming from the land of Israel. And looking like a sheep, but your tongue, you see how it is tongue? Tongue is like a serpent, talking like a serpent. Looking like a sheep, but talking like a serpent. He is coming from the land. Or we can say very clearly that he is the one who is going to be the probably the last prime minister of Israel. He is going to come from Israel. He is the leader of Israel. And he is very closely associated with the Antichrist. They are very close friends. And he always appreciates the Antichrist. Oh, he's very good. He's always very good. He says like that. And he will praise him. And Bible says at the end time, there will be a treaty between Israel and the Antichrist. A peace treaty for 7 years. So this beast will make a sign agreement with the Antichrist for 7 years. And that is the first day, the signing of that treaty will be the first day of the tribulation period of 7 years. And this man will encourage the Antichrist. Finally, at the middle of the tribulation period, he will allow the Antichrist to erect his image in the temple of God. Look at that. Here, in the temple of God, the Antichrist, he will allow the Antichrist to erect his image. And in this passage in chapter 11, chapter 13, verse 1, verse, we see that he will do certain miracles also. And he has the power to give life into the image. And he will make the image to speak. Verse 15 we will read. 13 verse 15. And he hath power to give life unto the image of the beast. And the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And again he introduces a number we see read in verse 16 onward. And that number is mentioned here 666. So he will promote the economic measures of the Antichrist. He will also promote the religious ambitions of the Antichrist. And he is going to come from the nation of Israel. Now it is believed that from the book of Genesis chapter 49, we read about Dan. And we see that Dan is a serpent on the way. So it is believed that this beast from the land is probably from the tribe of Dan. Throughout the history of Israel, Dan tribe was one who was promoted idol worship. And that is why from the chapter 7 of Revelation, in the list of the tribes, the Dan is not there. Because they promoted idol worship. Even at the end time, probably the tribe of Dan will promote idol worship. Or he will encourage to make the image of the beast and worship. Those who are not worshipping this image will be killed. That is what the scripture says. So this person always promotes, encourages people about Antichrist. So he is representing the false prophet, or he is the wicked person. And the two wicked persons at the end time we see here. So we have studied about the three characters this evening time, which is described in chapter 12 and 13. One is a red dragon, the devil. And chapter 13, we see the beast from the sea, that is Antichrist. And again, in chapter 13, we see a beast from the land, that is land of Israel, that is the Jewish man who was encouraging the Antichrist and promotes his ambitions. There we see that. And he will persecute the people of Israel, and people of Israel will be suffering during that time. Hundreds and hundreds of people will be killed during this time. So we have seen that all that is mentioned in the scripture is happening now. And we are so lucky to see that this is happening. And definitely it also reminds that we ought to prepare ourselves for the Lord's coming. It is not a joke, it is real that the Lord is going to come. And we have to prepare for that. Let us examine our life. These truths are not revealed to the outsiders, it's revealed to you and me. So as we know this truth, let us prepare ourselves for the Lord's coming. May God bless this verse to our hearts.